Why are you investing in property? Or why do you want to get involved in property investment? That's not really for the properties, is it? For some people, it's because they want to fund their retirement, while for others, it's that they want more choices in life. They don't particularly want to retire, but they want to work when they want to work, or how they want to work, or because they want to work, not because they have to work. However, the inconvenient truth is that despite over 2 million Australians investing in property, 92% of these investors never get past their first or second investment property, meaning they won't be able to fund their retirement. So is it really possible to live off your property portfolio in the current economic climate and in our more challenging finance environment? Well, the answer is yes, but the rules of finance have changed considerably, and how one funds the longest holiday you're ever going to have, your retirement, how you're going to fund it is very different to how you would have structured things many years ago. And that's what I'm going to discuss in my chat today with financial advisor Stuart Weems, so that at the end of today's podcast, you'll have more clarity in how to live the life of a property multimillionaire when you find out how those who are already successfully living off their property portfolio are doing it. And I'm sure you won't be surprised that when we explain how to do that, you're going to find it's very different to what most people are recommending. So welcome to today's show.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropol, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
More and more Australians are looking at property investment as a form of taking control of their financial futures. Yet some people seem to be questioning the ability to really fund a reasonable retirement through property investment. So today I'm going to have a chat with Stuart Weems to get an understanding of how to fund the longest holiday you're going to ever have, your retirement. Now, for those of you who don't know Stuart, he's an independent financial advisor. He's an author who's regularly published in the Australian newspaper. He's a podcaster with the Investopoly podcast. He regularly writes blogs on his own website at Pro Solutions and on mine at Property Update. Hi, Stuart.
Hey, Michael. Great to be with you again.
Now, Stuart, while over 2 million property investors, Australians, own residential investment, we know that most property investors, well, I guess, fail. By that, I mean they never develop a sufficiently large portfolio to fund their golden years and to give them the ability to live that, what I call the longest holiday they're ever going to have. The Australian Tax Office statistics show that 92% of people who get involved in property investment never get past their first or second investment property. And that's not even taking into account all those who get in and don't stay in. In other words, there's about 1.9 million investors who own one or two investment properties. There's only about 21,000 who own six or more properties. So, Stuart, how do you do it? Over the years, you and I have been speaking to each other and known each other for a couple of decades now. You know, initially my strategy, my end game was to live off the equity, off the increasing growth of your portfolio, but that had to change. Many years ago, I think it was around the time of the global financial crisis, as financing had changed. I'd like some of your thoughts on how to build an investment portfolio that's going to allow you to fund a great retirement.
So I think, Michael, the common mistake that people make is they think, I need $100,000 a year. Okay, so what size property portfolio do I need to have in order to generate that? And they might say, okay, well, I'm going to earn 3% off my portfolio. So I need $3.5 million of unencumbered property in order to generate $100,000 of income. That's pre-tax, of course. Now, that's got to be unencumbered, so no debt. So maybe that then looks like a $5 million portfolio with $2 million of debt or something like that. And that could work. But the problem is, how do you get to $5 million and how do you hold $2 million of debt into retirement? And is that a smart thing to do? For people on very high incomes, that's going to be doable. But for other people on lower incomes, it's a little bit out of stretch. But also what it suggests is, or invites you to do, is make a sort of asset allocation mistake. Because property is a lazy asset from an income perspective. You've got expenses associated, even if you've got a 2 or 3% gross rental yield, you've still got to pay for a property manager, insurance, maintenance, all those sorts of things, those sorts of expenses associated with the property. So your net income after all those expenses is quite low. And therefore, you need a lot of assets, a very large asset value. And the analogy that I use is it's like teeing off with a putter. Like, you've got different clubs in your bag, your golf bag, and they do different things at different times. And you choose the club that's going to be the most efficient. And when you're teeing off, you want to use a driver because that's going to get you the longest distance. If you're on the green, you're going to use a putter because obviously that gives you a bit more accuracy. But using property to drive or create a passive income stream is like using a putter, teeing off with a putter. You'll get there in the end, but it's a lot harder work. And so people then need to think about, really what I'd invite them to think about is, if they want to spend $100,000 in retirement, they want to make sure that their total return from all their investments, so that's income and capital growth, is maybe $150,000 or even $200,000. And if that's the case, mathematically, they can live forever because they'll never spend all their money. And so instead of looking at it like saying, okay, I need income, it's what combination of capital growth and income are you satisfied with, or will your strategy allow you to have? Because if you've got $5 million of property and it's appreciating by 10% a year, that's $500,000. You know, and if you're only spending $100,000, you're miles ahead. Who cares about the income? That's just a liquidity decision. That's just a how do I fund those living expenses rather than an asset allocation or a financial planning decision.
Now, maybe I should actually put a little disclaimer in here, because I know you're a financial planner and your firm puts financial plans together. And while I'm not a financial planner, part of the Metropole Group is also having a financial planning company. So we're not giving specific advice here. That disclaimer is always at the end of the show, but just to make it clear. But I think this general advice is very important. I think the other very important general thought is that down the track, we don't know what the rules are going to be. We don't know whether you're going to be able to negatively gear or not, whether you're going to be able to have access to your super or whether you're not, whether there's going to be death duties or other things. So I believe you've got to go through the various stages. And the first stage is to build an asset base. And so if you've got a big asset base, the bigger asset base you've got, the more choices you've got. And if you don't build an asset base in your working life, the fewer choices you've got. And we don't know how the government is going to be able to afford a pension, if there is going to be one, what's going to go on. So you've actually got to take control of your financial future and build an asset base. But Stuart, when we build a strategy for our clients, at the end, it's not all property. I think people need to own their own home at the end with no debt. I think they need to have a level of property portfolio, but I'm comfortable with them having a level of debt as long as it's serviceable, as long as they can cope with it if interest rates go up. But I also believe they need assets elsewhere. And as we put a plan together, we recommend that they have cash flow assets. Now, it could be in their superannuation, which is a need specific advice, or it could be in a share portfolio or managed funds. But I agree with you that if anybody just says property, 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 or they say shares only, you should be very careful that they're probably a little bit biased.
That's right. We can't ignore the fact that all of us have to contribute to super, at least if we're employees, and hopefully self-employed people do as well. So 9.5% of our income goes into super, soon to be, hopefully, if the government doesn't delay it, 10%, and it'll get to 12% in a few years' time. So a lot of income's going into super. So maybe we can look at it like we're going to fund retirement in two phases. Maybe we could say we're going to fund retirement the first phase. And that first phase might last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever it might be, can be funded by super. And how long that first phase lasts, obviously, will be informed by, you know, how much super you have. But anyway, there's going to be that initial period. Super will fund that. And then we can say, well, perhaps then our property investment or any investments that we're doing in addition to super can fund the second phase. And the benefit of that is twofold. firstly, it gives us a longer runway. It gives us a longer investment horizon. And if that means that super can last, say, the first 10 years. And so really what I'm then doing with my property investments is funding from age 70 onwards, assuming we retire at 60, for example, when we can access super. So 70 onwards. And if I'm 50 today, I've got a 20-year time horizon, which is a couple of decades, enough typically to enjoy quite a significant amount of capital growth. The advantage is that it gives you a little bit more time, and time's a necessary ingredient. The second advantage is that maybe what the strategy needs to be is that we just need to get the property portfolio breaking even from a cash flow perspective. We don't necessarily need our property portfolio to give us any income when we initially retire. If we can just have it breaking even, as you say, Michael, some a conservative level of debt taking into retirement's not necessarily a bad thing, if as long as you don't have too much sensitivity to interest rates. If the property portfolio is paying for itself, then we can live off our super and our super income stream and just let that property portfolio tick along and generate more growth. But we do need to have, obviously, a clear strategy on how we're going to convert that capital growth one day, which obviously we'll talk about.
Well, I think that's important. So starting off, you actually do need a strategy, and buying a property is not a strategy. Just building a portfolio is not a strategy. So I know you and your firm take a holistic approach, as do we, that a strategy involves a finance strategy, including having financial buffers and how to buy the next property, and eventually retire your debt also. It involves an ownership structure strategy, which is a level of protection. It involves an estate planning strategy. So you're right. It's not just buying a property. But if you're talking about strategic finance, which I know is your specialty and you've written a book on it, if you start off assuming that you need debt, you need leverage to grow the asset base, what strategies would you be looking at to repay your loans or a portion of them before retirement?
Yeah, and let's just say that the strategy or the target is to make sure that our portfolio is break even. Let's just say, because I mean, no one wants to take negative cash flow into retirement. To my mind, unless you had a significant asset pool elsewhere, that would be a silly thing to do. So I would say for probably most people, and again, like you said, it's general advice, but I would imagine that for most people, their target is to at least make sure their property portfolio is washing its own face, is paying for itself. In order to do that, you're going to have a natural increase in rental over time, but that'll be market driven. There's not a lot we can do about it other than making sure our property is in good repair and it's well managed, etc. The rest is then up to us to gradually reduce our debt exposure, which is the main kind of outflow, I guess, which contributes to a property portfolio's negative cash flow. And in regards to that, my first bit of advice is to have a multi-pronged strategy to do that. So we want to have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C on how we're going to reduce our debt to a level that will then make sure that our property portfolio is neutral in cash flow or positive in cash flow. A very common one would be using future surplus cash flow. So saving after-tax dollars, putting it in the offset account to notionally reduce our interest rate exposure. Most people are going to employ that, but that might not be enough in itself. So there's other things that we can think about doing. For example, if we know that the cash flow is not going to get us there, maybe buying an additional asset with the idea that you will divest of that asset at some point, which may or may not be right on retirement. It might be a little bit after retirement, to use to reduce debt. So for example, you might buy three investment properties with the idea to sell one and keep two for the longer term as a sort of debt exit strategy.
Now, Stuart, I agree with that, but some people say to me, Michael, you say never sell. No, I've never said that. I say seldom sell, but if it's part of the strategy, it doesn't matter how many properties you've got. You're buying the properties to fund your future lifestyle, not to own a number of properties or even a particular size portfolio. So I fully agree with you that selling, but one has to remember that if you sell, you still are only going to get a small portion of the money. I know there are people out there saying buy 10 properties over your life, sell five, and then you'll have five debt free. Doesn't work that way. First of all, you've probably got 80% loan to value ratio or something. So you're only going to, every property you sell, get maybe 20% of the funds in the property. And there's going to be selling costs and hopefully there's going to be capital gains tax because they've gone up in value. So it's not as simple as just selling a property and then all of a sudden clearing $5,000, $6,000, $100,000, $1 million worth of debt if that's what the property is worth. So you've got to do it as part of a strategic plan.
Absolutely. We must be strategic because if that is part of the strategy, you want to know that upfront rather than after the fact. Because if we know it upfront, we can start thinking about, well, how can we structure the property from a finance and ownership perspective so that we can walk away with more money in our pocket? You know, maybe funding it in a way that's going to minimize capital gains tax will be far more effectual within the strategy, implementation of the strategy. But you can't do that after the fact. Once you bought a property, it's in an ownership structure. It's too cost prohibitive to change that down the track. So having that foresight, that plan is incredibly important.
Now, as we said at the beginning, this isn't specific advice, but getting an ownership structure before you buy the property is important. And owning a property in a self-managed super fund, if it's appropriate for your personal circumstances, could be one way of avoiding capital gains tax on disposal, because under current legislation, that would be the case.
Exactly right, and could be a massive saver. You know, you could, particularly if you buy the right asset, as you said, you hopefully got a very large capital gain and not paying any tax on that gain. I mean, more money in your pocket, and again, a greater reduction in debt, and so therefore the strategy is more likely to work as well.
And you could use some of those funds and actually distribute them to yourself once you're in pension phase as well, in a preferred way, with not having to pay as much in the way of tax. So structuring it, thinking, beginning with end in mind with every property purchase, having it as part of a long-term plan can make such a difference as to whether you can live off your portfolio or not.
Yep, spot on. Another option could be, Michael, withdrawing some super. Not all super, of course, but you might only have to withdraw a few hundred thousand, for example, put it in the offset account so that it neutralizes the cash flow. That, in fact, might be a good thing to do. Of course, pulling money out of the super environment isn't always a great idea because it's very difficult to get it back in, and it is a tax-free environment as the laws stand today. But again, that could be a plan B or a plan C strategy. We just need to be thinking about, how is property going to perform? How is that it going to perform from a cash flow perspective? And then what is my strategy to accommodate that? And the last option that is more common to think about could be a downsizing strategy, which means downsizing the home and pulling some equity out of that. I'm often loath to do that because quite often people might want to downsize in accommodation size, but that doesn't necessarily translate to a downsize in property value. But in some circumstances, it's very relevant. And more people now are thinking, well, we've got a really large family home in a blue chip suburb, but it's too much, it's too big for us. And so a lot of clients are now thinking, well, we don't necessarily want to be living in the city full time. Why don't we sell our home and buy two places? Maybe it's an apartment in the city that we can use when we go and visit grandchildren and our children, etc. But we'll live down the coast, or, you know, inland, or wherever it might be. In that situation, sometimes they end up pulling out equity and still achieving their lifestyle goals. So again, I'm not saying that's necessarily going to be your number one plan, but we want to hit it from a few different angles. And you can say, look, I'll put as much cash flow over the next 10 years into offset accounts. If I'm a little short, I'll pull some from super. And if all that doesn't work, I'll downsize the home. But at least you've got three opportunities or three strategies on how you're going to get your property portfolio to being neutral in terms of cash flow.
So I guess in summary, you can, in this country, in Australia, build an asset base big enough to give you lifestyle choices later in life. It depends upon how much income you're earning during your life, how long a runway you've got to build an asset base. But to get the results most of us are looking for, you need a plan, you need a financial plan, and you need to be comfortable taking on a level of debt early in the piece to be able to build an asset base. But then you've got to have a plan how to minimize that to reduce your debt. Stuart, I know that's one of the things that you do with your team, giving financial advice, as we do at Metropole. If people want to understand a bit more about what you do, because I know you have a holistic approach with tax, finance, financial planning, you don't do the property areas, which we get involved in. How do people find out about you, and where can they learn more?
Probably the easiest way, Michael, is just to Google Investopoly, and that'll take you to my podcast or book. And then just probably listening to some of that or reading some of that content, whether you read the book or the blog or listen to the podcast. And quite often I find it's a good kind of entree into what we do, how we think, how we attack problems from different angles, and how a holistic approach can deliver value. So that's probably the best way to do that.
Fantastic. Look forward to chatting again with you real soon, Stuart.
Thanks, Michael. Been great.
In a moment, I'm going to have a chat with you in my mindset message about your internal wealth thermostat, and will help you understand why some people don't achieve the level of wealth they deserve. But before I do that, I want to just continue on with the thought that we were discussing with Stuart a moment ago, that in today's current more challenging environment, I know the property market's moving up, but actually securing your financial future in property is harder than in all the time I've been investing. What I want to discuss with you is the concept that to secure your financial future, you're going to have to do things differently to what most people do. And you're going to have to listen to different people and get advice from different people to who most people listen to. Otherwise, you're going to get the same results as everyone else, aren't you? So in my mind, to secure your financial future, you're going to need more than just a buyer's agent. Now, buyer's agents are often very valuable in selecting the right property for you. We've got Australia's leading team of buyer's agents. You're going to need more than the property strategist, and we have Australia's leading property strategists. But I believe you're going to need a holistic approach to ensure that you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth. By that, I mean you're going to have the interaction of finance and tax and financial planning and structuring and asset management and renovations and development and property research. So at Metropole, we customize a solution to meet your specific needs using our time-tested 360-degree system for acquiring wealth. We help beginning investors buy their first property, experienced investors add to their portfolio, and sophisticated investors manufacture capital growth by becoming property developers. So if you're looking to buy, invest, renovate, if you're wanting to grow your financial future, if you're wanting to develop that financial independence, why not go to metropole.com.au, find out about what my team and I do, and I'd love to be part of your wealth creation journey, metropole.com.au.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
In my mindset message today, I'd like to ask you a question. What is your wealth thermostat set for? You see, I'm going to share some thoughts about the inner game of wealth. Have you ever heard of somebody saying that lack of money was their problem? You know, they may say something like, I can't buy a new car because I don't have enough money, or I can't buy a house because I haven't got enough money. But in my mind, lack of money is never really the problem. The lack of money is merely a reflection of what's going on underneath. So if lack of money is the effect, what's the cause? Now, I believe that we live in a world of cause and effect. Money is an effect. Wealth is an effect. Health is an effect. Being overweight is an effect. To solve any of these issues, you've got to start by looking at what the cause is. Here's an example so you can understand what I'm getting at. Say you've written a letter on your computer and you print it out and you look at the hard copy that's printed out and you find a typo. Say you take your wipe out of one of those magic erasers and you erase it on the paper and you hit print again. Same thing. Paper comes out with a typo. How can this be? You just erased it, didn't you? So you do it again and again, but you keep getting the same result. What's happened here is you can't change the printout in the physical world. You've got to go back. You've got to change the program in order to get a different result. Does that make sense? And what's all this got to do with money and success? Well, the thing is, I believe you've got inside you what I call, and I've actually registered this trademark many, many years ago, your wealth operating system, which is a specific program about how you feel about success and money. And this program is embedded in your subconscious mind. And like the computer example I shared with you a short while ago, unless you go and change your program, unless you upgrade your operating system, you're never going to get a different end result. Your wealth operating system is what connects your inner self, your thoughts and your feelings, with the outer world, your actions and your results. Now, you've probably heard me say this before in previous mindset messages. Your thoughts lead to your feelings lead to your actions, and your actions lead to your results. So my question to you as I started off is, what is your wealth operating system set for, and where did it come from? Well, the answer is quite simple, really. Your internal programming was primarily established on the information you received in the past, especially as a young child. Things that would have influenced you then would have been your parents, your siblings, your teachers, religious leaders, the media, your culture. The challenge that I find most people have when discovering what their level of internal wealth thermostat's set for is that because it's in their subconscious mind, they can't identify the areas that they need to work on consciously. As I said, if you're like most Australians, the way you feel and think about money was established by things you heard, things you saw, things you experienced as a child from your mentors, who are basically your parents and grandparents. So this message isn't just for you, but what I'm trying to get across to you is going to help your children and grandchildren. See, if you're like most people, you didn't have wealthy parents, did you? So here's the crazy thought. Your wealth operating system and the way you feel and think about money is the same as that of your parents and grandparents, only with the mod cons of the current times. Now, it reminds me of a crazy story I heard many, many years ago from Jay Abrams, who was one of my early mentors in marketing. But he made a message then that's, I think, relevant today. And it went something like this. He said, a woman prepares a ham for dinner by cutting off both ends of the ham and putting it on a plate in the oven. And her bewildered husband asks her, hey, why do you cut off both ends of the ham before you put it in the oven? And she said, oh, I don't know, that's how my mum cooked it. Well, it just so happened her mum was coming for dinner that night. So they asked her, hey, why did you cut off the ends of the ham when you cooked the ham when I was a young kid, mum? And she replied, well, that's how my mum cooked it. So intrigued, they decided to call Grandma on the phone and ask her why she cut the ham ends off before putting it in the oven. Her answer was, well, that's what I had to do to fit it into the small size pan and the small oven I had in those days. What does this mean for you? Right now, it's very likely that the way you think about money, wealth, and rich people is due to the programming of generations that have gone on before you. This would have come to you in a combination of three ways. Verbal programming, things you heard as a child. Modeling, things you saw your parents do as a child and then copied. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And if you say, no, I'm not like my parents, I'm not becoming more like my parents as I get older, have a look at your life partner, your spouse, and let me ask you a question. Are they becoming more like their parents as they get older? So you learned things in a combination of three ways, verbal programming, modeling, and also specific incidents, things you experienced, things you heard, saw, and experienced. But are these beliefs, are these values, are these habits that you absorb passively over time still serving you well today? In fact, did they ever serve you well? And if you're like most Australians, the simple answer is no, they're not. They're not wealthy thoughts, and it's time you upgrade your programming, your wealth operating system. And the good news is the first step in the process of upgrading your subconscious programming is to become aware of the problem. That's the process I wanted to share with you today, to start at least by explaining what's happening to you at a subconscious level. It's very likely that you're living your life with one foot on the accelerator and one on the brake. You've got some empowering beliefs, but you've also got some disempowering beliefs. You've got some rich habits, and you've also got some poor habits. You've got beliefs about wealth and money and happiness that are helping you get in the right direction and some that are holding you back. So the next step in reprogramming your wealth operating system is to remove some of the disempowering habits and replace them with empowering beliefs, empowering habits, empowering rituals. Now, that's not easy, and that's what I discuss in my international best-selling book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits. By the way, that book's been translated into four languages now. Chinese, two forms of Chinese, Korean, Polish, Vietnamese, and the Indian publishers are looking for it as well. Hey, by the way, you can go to richhabitspoorhabits.com and get a copy of it. But what I was trying to say is reprogramming your wealth operating system takes time, and reading a book will help you, but it's not enough. And that's why I put together my mentorship program, which over the last couple of decades has helped thousands of Australians upgrade their wealth operating system. It's an online program that I'd love you to be part of to help you take your life and investing to the next level. Now, you can read more about it. I'll leave a link to it in the show notes, but at michaelyardney.com.au. And when you join my mentorship program, you're going to learn the science of becoming wealthy. It's a program I put together for investors who want to know how to get to growing a multi-million dollar property portfolio or a successful business from somebody who's already done it and somebody who's educated more successful Australian property investors than anyone else. Hey, by the way, that's me. And remember the cause and effect equation I discussed a few moments ago. Your outside world won't change until you upgrade your wealth operating system and your inner world. And you can learn how to do this through my mentorship program. Just go to michaelyardney.com.au and get all the details. And I look forward to being part of your wealth creation journey. Well, thank you for spending the last half an hour or so with me. I hope you got some benefit from my chat with Stuart Weems today. And if you didn't, it's given you some clarity about how to start structuring your property portfolio. May I suggest you help me share my message and help me get as many people as financially fluent as possible. Tell somebody about the Michael Yardney podcast or leave us a review or just use the share button on any podcast app that you're using right now. Now, if you want to catch up with me in between these twice weekly shows, just look out for me on social media or you can join my private Facebook group by going to Facebook and looking for the Property Update private Facebook group. Now, if you don't already subscribe to the show, I really hope you will after listening to today's show, so you're going to get regular content from me. I'll be back again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropol, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropol to help you?